session number 24691, reel 4.
Mr. MacDonald, reel 4. And you were picking wounded men up over in the office in a pretty bad way.
Yeah, well, most of them were too far gone, you see what I mean? And as I say, we one stretcher, say, something like that. But I mean, you're going from here to there. I was trying to see which was the worst or which was the. In a sense of the word, you were trying to pick the less wounded to try and get them out. But it was impossible.
Must have had, you know, people who you were leaving because they were badly wounded. Because, as you say, you were looking for less.
Yeah.
They must have been crying out not to leave them.
Well, I mean, the thing about it was, you see, that you, as I say, you wonder how you fought all the time because they were more at the margin. I mean, the Germans, you know, they never used artillery; it was all mortars. Even Tobruk was all mortars, you know. And anyway, you're going from one to the other, but most of them were too far gone. They nearly. And you just said to yourself, well, what the hell can we do? And you were talking to a couple of your mates, calling them, how with this? It's no good, man. He's dead. So I'm sorry, dead. Oh, great.
And when you found a dead man, you took his identity tags off?
Yeah. And his possessions, if you need all of them. That all of them were put down. Now, also, you see, we were told that blanket is buried in. The price of that was taken up. They were charged the next of kin for that blanket. Or we should try and fill them in and then put paint it or something.
And you were doing that? You were burying them as well?
Well, we had to do it. We were stretcher bearers, you see.
And the wounded ones, where did you take them to? Those that you were bringing out?
Well, their HQ was about a mile behind.
Wouldn't that be the regimental aid post?
Yeah, that was amongst them. And we were trying to get them back to them. But when we got back to there, they said, we've managed to say next to nobody because they're too far gone. So what they did, I don't know. But as I say, when we came out of that, they sent us to Palestine. Well, that was a holding to us. See, anybody, when we got to us, you were sent there, reinforced, a bit training. Back yet again.
You'd probably had a lot of losses yourself. The battalion must have lost a good few men.
Yeah, we lost a lot. We had a good lot of wounded and a good lot. Well, if you read that card from Ronnie King, he told you he met up with two or three lads that were captured in there.
Where were the drafts coming from that you were receiving? To bring it up to strength, where were they coming from?
From the we got the Essex Regiment, we got nearly all of them. There was two or three of them. I met one of them at that big doings, and I said to him, he said, yes, I was with the Durhams. He said, I was with the Essex Regiment. I joined you in Palestine. Yeah. And he says, I used to come with the, he mentioned the lad's name, he used to be a bugle in the bugles with me. And he says, but he's died there, so we've just come. And I said to him, why didn't he go back to the Essex? Oh, no, none of us went back to the Essex Regiment. None of them went back. And we got about 150 of them, something like that, as reinforcements. Oh, no.
Were you able to cope with the sights you were seeing?
It was a natural day, you know what I mean? Because we had it all day long. I mean, the thing about it was, you see that there, we were drawn out, and then you had to forget it, aren't we? And when we went into Palestine, like, they sent us on a few days later to Tel Aviv, you know, because it was at that time it was a big doing centre, you know what I mean?
The leave centre.
Yes, that's correct. And then we came back from there, and then we relieved the French, the Australians. There was a few Australians in Syria, because Syria at that time was like Cyprus is to us, you know, handed over after the First World War and all that crap. So the French.
Yes, it was a French colony, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the thing about it was, you see, the French had packed in, so Vichy was in charge. So we got orders that all French possessions under there had to be retaken. So, anyway, as I say, Bussy was in there, and the Australians were in it, so they weren't doing too good. So anyway, our brigades, at that time, we had, I think it was a border regiment, the Black Watch. I think we were next to kin to the Black Watch. We still had to do it. The Black Watch was always alongside us, and we had the Black Watch and us. Anyway, we were dead. And a week before we went into there, they were short of NCO, so I got banged out in a duty company, a C company, about a year, 6 months before the Hawk. Anyway, see, I got banged in there, and I got a stripe straight away. I was trying, bloody hell. Anyway, you see, what happened was, you see, that we'd been there about 3 weeks when we got told we had to go on this Fecky patrol, you see.
This is in Syria?
Yeah.
We moved into Syria?
Yeah. We'd gone through Homs and Damascus and around that area, and we were dug in, and it was all very hilly country, you see. And anyway, what happened was, you see, the old man called me, and he says to me, and he said, look, he says, we want to send out a Fecky patrol to see if the French is behind us. There's a range of hills on one side and all broken ground on the other side, you see. And anyway, what that was, you see, he says to this officer, he said, look, this bloke here, Seedright, they called him, he'd just come out from England, and he says, I want you to take notice of this corporal of mine, he says, because he's trained in map reading, does everything. You've got to recognise, and not only that, he's been here from day one, so we know. This is your first day in action? Yes, sir. It was. Anyway, you see, all right, fair enough, five of us with him. Six. Anyway, what happened was, we moved forward, we've got two either side of me and him, and they would get away, man, about 50 yards behind us, you see, just in case he got back. Moved forward, he kept two with him. And I was sent forward. So as I'm going forward, I said, can I have your binoculars, sir? Oh, I need them. Good start, I said. Goes forward about 100 yards. And I says, I said, look here, wouldn't it be a good idea to get behind all this cover on the left-hand side here? Look at it. Look, big boulders and all that. Get behind all that and observe. No, we're going straight forward. So he says to me, I want you to go forward another 100 yards. Come forward another 100 yards and all hell, little pretty big heavy machine guns, and we were pinned down. See, and I said, they bored off. So we were pinned down. So I'd, with me, a young boy had just come out with him, with me, with a solo lad. And we were trying to call this boy down. Oh, that was the hell they're carrying. Anyway, we crawled across to this, and we met one of these becks, this river, dry river. And we got in that and said, now look here, all we've got to do is fold this down. And we were, oh, he's just waving his hands all over. God. In the end, they were firing these rifle grenades, but so in the end, one was getting a bit near or something, and he jumps up waving his arms all over. So that's it, we're in the shit. Waving his arms all over, away they come over, singalese, the big black singalese, pretty French foreign legion, and we were nabbed.
What was that officer's name again?
Seedright.
Seedright. Seedright.
And we were banged into this barracks, French barracks, in Beirut.
How did they treat you when they first grabbed you?
Bad. We were kicked up the arse and all sorts, digging us all over the place. It got worse for me, because I had a Thompson submachine gun, I'd ordered the bloody magazines away, you see. Because we were armed. What happened to us, you see, that when we first went in early on, after the wake-up into, we used to have the Scottish commandos, where they were wiped out. So then we had other battalions that had taken over as commando. And we used to be armed, all section leaders to be armed with the Thompson's, and this, I don't know if you've ever seen it before, like a dagger affair, a knuckle duster, and they'd do it, and we used to have to practice on these sandbags. But if you were caught with one of them, you were shot. You were promised that. Anyway, that's the way we were armed. And as I say, I was at the Thompson, so I just always a bloody doing it again, and just giving it another go, anyway, the murderer. He got a couple of good digs up the arse and putting. And when we got into the barracks, we cleaned the lobbies out and things like that in a couple of days. And then we were banged into a police station. And from there, we were banged into this prison camp. But we were the only three British here, English. All the rest was Aussies, like. Oh, we got on very well. But the
and they took the officer away from you?
He'd buggered up. They'd all left. He said that they'd given to some kind of open fire, so they did left, and left the theorists there. You see, well, we had plenty of cover. We could have easily got into cover. Well, anyway, what happened was, you see, that we were banged at this prisoner of war camp. You see, we were only there about a couple of months. There were goat's meat and things like that. Cause they were partly as bad. I don't think we've seen it.
They had very little food.
Because they were in an embargo, in that way. The British Navy was pretty...
Was it a brick building camp?
No, a big barbed wire, bloody doors around it. We were in the open.
You didn't have tents or anything to lie in?
I think there was tents, a few tents and things like that, I think it was. But what was, you see, the coffee, as I say, it was just ground mud or something like that. Oh, it was bloody terrible, it was. No sugar, a little bit, and that's why I said coffee, not mentioned coffee anyway. Anyway, and the doage was goat's meat and a big a hunk of bloody brown bread, black bread or something like that. And that was it. And then one was stewed and the next one was, oh God, it was bloody terrible. But the thing about it was, you see, as I say, we got relieved. We eventually they come over, and when we got back to barracks, and the old man calls us in, he says to me, he says, I'm very sorry about all that. He says, I know for a definite fact what happened, because he says, one of the lads, not only the one with you, but the other one, told exactly what was obvious fact that he should have done, which was took you over in the record. He says, anyway, you won't see him again because he's never come back again. Well, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to him, but we never saw him again.
What treatment did you get the 2 months that you were with them in this prison camp?
No, we never see anybody. We just used to see what they got. That was all. Because
who was guarding you? Were the
French, the
colonial troops.
Yeah, right? all blacks. The big buggers, no, they were poor. But they weren't, you know. But when we were in there,
were they beating you at all? When
the worst was when we went into the barracks. When we were first took into the barracks, as you go into the ladder, they were spitting on your nose, didn't they? You know, but there were the women amongst them at all. They were, we killed all the bloody lavies out and things like that. But once we got into a prisoner camp, we'd never seen it. There was only three of us, and all of us was another 50 or so, the old Australians.
They must have been pretty interesting to be with, the Australians, in prison camp.
Oh, aye. We got on very well. And most of them were engineers and people like that, you know what I mean?
And they didn't... how did they feed you? I mean, you've said what you got, but how did they feed you? What was the system of feeding you?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I can't remember. I think they just slung it on a dish. So I know the coffee was bloody terrible. It was like bloody soil. No milk with sugar in it. It was terrible. Like the grouch.
Was there any organisation in the camp?
I don't think so. I think they were just wandering around the camp. We never saw any guards and anything like that. We didn't know where we were, so there was no point in trying to escape. But I mean, we were only there a couple of months.
Then after 2 months, you were there. In effect, they'd given up then, hadn't they?
Yeah, and we were sent back to our own units. But the laughable thing about it was that we thought that was the end of it, but we sent back the base camp, a couple of weeks leave, and then we were on a destroyer going into Tobruk. I said, my God, and not only that, we were a bands party, you know. I don't think Hawks was with us at that time. No, he wouldn't be. Anyway,
What do you remember of that journey on the destroyer going into Tobruk?
Oh, I don't remember. Well, they called it the Moonlight Pit or somebody. Everything was being oiled at it as you went up into the harbour of Tobruk. You know what I mean? Because we only had the harbour and all the rest of it was surrounded by them. And it was a nightmare. We got in. Get off as quick as you can. They were pushing off the bloody. Obviously, it was a pretty good right to be. I know. They couldn't get behind and get out quick enough.
So you were taken over from the Aussies. They were coming out.
Yes. But we were on the advance party. We were there a fortnight before them. It's called that Pedcano's army. You never seen anything like it. But this Ronnie King that I was telling you about, my mate there, he was a sergeant with me. And there was my section fighters. And we got there, and they had all the comforts at home. Tin fruit, beer. I said, God, look at this lot. And then the laughable thing about it was they had gloves, bloody balaclavas. I said, only comforts we got from home was 50 pounds of the Durham Miners or something. And the laughable thing about it was that they would say to us, hey, you have that. Anyway, this officer says to us, would you like to go on a patrol? Like,
What are your memories of Tobruk going into that harbour? What did it look like?
It was dark, pitch dark, because it was midnight. It was midnight. See, like, you could only go in at night, late on at night. Because you had to get in, and they were waiting for you coming in and getting you unloaded and getting you out.
And where did they initially take you? That you've got off the ship, who took you where, and where did you go?
We joined the Australians. The Australians, you see, we were taken over with them, but we were like an advance party to them.
And was this in the front line that you were taking?
Yes. So we were amongst there. We were put in amongst their blokes, you see, and we had to recognise all the bloody places for them, for our blokes coming back in later on. But the annoying thing about it was, so he said, right, would you like to go to patrol, fighting patrol? No other option. Anyway, we went on this fight with Joe. And I'm not telling you. You tread carnals, are we? We had the barbed wires, of course, with all the tin cans on and all that. And there was a special gap to get through, you see. In the British armies, you know, I mean, we were still professional, so, and they were. You didn't, when we went through anything like that, you did not open your mouth. You just went, opened out the 5 yards apart as you moved through the wire and all that. And there wasn't a move. And then he used to say to them, before you went in, I'll just move my hands and we go forward. With him, I think he was only half a mile away. I think bloody anybody in bloody Sunderland would have heard of us. Rattling the bloody wires going through. My mate says to me, he said, the bloody bird on here in a few minutes. Anyway,
this is a combined Australian and yourself.
See, we were like guests on this bloody patrol. Showing us that. Anyway, get through the wire, open it, and roll down. And we're lying down. We were just behind these officers and all that. And he's pretty young, the oldest of two houses. Lord almighty. Anyway, the thing was, you see, that they said the Germans had put a noise post about 100 yards in front, or 200 yards in front of the airway court. With a dictaphone or something in it.
An observation.
Observation post, see? And we had to destroy that. Anyway, the thing about it was, this goes on there. Then, we only got another bloody 10 minutes then. All hell let loose. Oh, God almighty. It says, away, Matt. Oh, you lot all right? Crawl away to the right. There's a North Star. We follow the North Star. So we all crawl away, going along the wire, and gets a bit, a couple hundred yards away, and we get challenged. Oh, who goes there? Friend, advance friend. We go through, Johnny Gerger. And he looks at us, and he calls his officer over. These are not Australians. And this officer calls us, and he says, what do you say? Well, we were leaving the Australians, were we? Oh, damn. And he says, anyway, he gets us through. And that was the funny thing about the French, you see. The bloke, when he interrogates, I don't need to interrogate you, I know who you are. He said, everybody in the doing stuff, who you are with them green nose top, because nearly every regiment in them days wore a different colour hose top. The Essex wore a purple, we wore the green, and I think Tanko wore black, I think. But they all wore a different hose top, you know what I mean? Anyway, we didn't get interviewed by them at all, but anyway, when we got through, he called his officer, he says, and my mate Ronnie says, Durham's got to be, man, he says. Anyway, he says, are you the same bloody lot was with us? And aye. So they invited us.
Where were you with them?
4th Indian Division when we first moved into the desert. So the one belonged to Newcastle, another one belonged to the posh areas of Newcastle and all that. But, all right, come in here, gets us in, took the room a piece and took me away. What have you been doing there? And all this, you know. And we had a hell of a carry on. So I don't worry, he says, we phoned the Australians and we'll send you back by a 1500 weight truck.
So when the firing had started, you'd scattered in effect, hadn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
And you three Durhams had gone
five.
Five Durhams had gone off together.
Well, we went off together. We went and made our own way back. He said, every man for himself, mind. As soon as he went, oh, I said, hey, every man for himself. So we said, oh, I am not snow. So we made for the wire and followed the wire around, followed the North Star. We knew the North Star was over there. So, and as I say, we got challenged. And when we got through, he says, and this officer came out, he says, you're not bloody Australians, no, the Durhams, what are you doing here? And then we told him, oh, he said, the old man, I want to see you.
So you were taken by lorry back to the Australians?
After then, to us, yeah.
And then, what happened next?
Well, by then, you see, our own people had moved in. Well, we are to make, then go around and show them all the doings, you see. But we had, the annoying thing about it was, each platoon had its plumb doors in there, and the three sections dug in either side and all that. But we had communication trenches, but they're only a couple of feet deep. And if you stuck your arse a bit too far, you got a burst across the backside. They get a bit rude, you know, because the Germans always alert and always a bit cracked, you know. Anyway, the thing about it is, you know, I'm certain it was him, Richard Dingleby, the father of them. He was a war correspondent at that time, just before the Christmas time. And he come in and he was going to send letters home to England, all right, that mean, wasn't it? Anyway, and he's going round to these lads while I'm in the doings. I think Oxford was there, I'm not sure, he might know. Anyway, we're in this doings and he come in and he says, ask him where they belong. He said, ask him where he belongs, a corporal, see? So he says to me, where do you belong? Where do I belong? What do you mean? Where are you born? Oh, I was born in London. Oh, he said, what? He'd joke. He says, can I send a letter? Oh, no, thanks. What? I said, so, you would be proud of what? I said, look, I'm proud of being born in Pickford and all these things. He didn't say a word. He was stuck jobbing, he was. Right, I said, there was London, mate. I said, I'm proud of being Pickford in the North East. What? He said, what? He couldn't get out quick enough.
The positions, the line that you were in, can you describe it? What were the Tobruk defence positions like?
Oh, well, you see, we had three battalions. See, we had I think the Black Watch was on our left, and then we had I think it was the East Surrey's or something like that, or the Essex Regiment or something like that. And then there was a Border Regiment. I think it was a Borders, I'm not sure. There was a brigade of us, and a spare battalion, sort of like that. And
were they concrete trenches
No, all built up with sandbags and things like that. No. Just like your First World War thing. But most of what we were lying on ammunition boxes, full of ammo. So we didn't direct it, we were wearing the shit. But the amusing thing about it was, every doors, section doors, had at least three guns, with a 201 Spandau, Lewis gun, and the Brain gun and all.
These are section posts?
Yeah, they've been captured by the Aussies, and with plenty of ammunition. We were lying on boxes of bloody ammunition, and beds, you know what I mean? And you never got your boots off. I don't even wash your big feet in about 3 bloody months. You didn't take your boots off, because we got, I think they only broke through once, and that was the Essex. So what they did was they withdrew them and banged the Border Regiment back in their place almost, right?
And what were you doing there? What was your task?
Just observing them. We were patrolling every night. Every night we were on patrol, fighting patrol, harassing them. We were just harassing the Germans in that sense of the word, don't we?
And how far away were they from where you were?
About half a mile.
And it was flat open space?
Completely surrounded. The sea behind us. But,
did you recall going on any patrols yourself other than the one you've described?
Oh, aye, we were on two or three of them.
Do you remember particularly any event?
No, not really, no. Most of them were clear cut, as I say. I mean, we were professional soldiers. You know what I mean? When we got, we used to kick up a little stink and then get out as quick as we could. That was the idea, you know, just to annoy them, harass them.
And you said in front of the positions there was a wire?
Yeah.
And then was there a minefield laid in front?
Well, I don't know if they'd laid mines or nothing. You see, we had the wire, Danic wire, all that over, and we were in these doors behind, you see. And whenever we went out, we had to go through the special doors, you see.
How deep were your lines or your trenches, whatever you call them, whatever they were?
About 4 or 5 feet deep, I think it would be. But we had a communication, and I said, and they're only about a couple of feet deep. When you're crawling, when you went to go into the tomb to wake up, you had to crawl in that way.
What food were you getting?
Oof.
Was it basic rations or were you...
Basic corned beef and bloody biscuits.
Hardtack.
What we used to do was, used to see, and we got the apple rings in that way. Stewed apple rings and bloody hardtack. And then we used to get corned beef, try and make bloody stew with them. Corned beef stew with the bloody hardtack, and then...
Was the water rationed?
Yeah, we got a pint of water a day, but we got a gallon of salt water for washing. We couldn't shave with it, but we got a special soap to wash with it. But it never used to be allowed enough to shave, so we had Italian beers. But fresh water, we got a pint a day.
And obviously, rationed to a pint a day. And were your officers supervising how you used it? Were you kept a close eye on you?
The only officer we ever saw was a wrong platoon commander.
Do you remember who he was?
Yeah, he was killed.
What was his name?
Atkinson, I think it was. I'm not sure. Anyway, what happened was, you see, that when we pushed out of Tobruk, am I going too fast?
No, we'll do that next time, because we're at the end of the tape, actually.
What happened was, you see, we never, the only one, that was all we saw. But we, after our, so many of us, just have to go back to the doors to collect the rations for the day, you see. And the laughable thing about it was, the RHA was there at Cat and Wakelet. And the bloody lot of them were the old Geordies. It was a scream, because we went back, you know, and all of a sudden one bloke, you know, he says, "Who are you lot?" Terms, ever in the creation. He said, "Bloody, more bloody Geordies." And this bloke from the cheeky Italian owl that said, "No, we've got a bloody cockney here, and no one charged us." Oh.